ORF Kumuyi.
Praise the Lord. It will be an understatement for me to say I am happy. I'm more than happy to be in Idoma land, Idoma kingdom, and to minister to the rest of the world from the Idoma Palace Square. God bless everyone. Now, this morning, we're not going to take my normal, usual long time. Why? Oh, because Psalm 119 is longer than Psalm 1. Psalm 1, the word of God, just six verses. And it's the word of God that still changes life. When I go to Psalm 2, it's longer. When I now come to Psalm 119, that one is long. Later, you'll get the longer one. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you and bless you, a great, gracious, glorious God. You are in heaven, and then you look at us here on earth, and your heart of love, compassion, reaches out to everyone. We're asking that this day you will bless your people. All your people here, all your people online, everywhere, rain down your showers of blessing upon everyone. Enlighten us. Empower us. Envelope us with your power. Enable, energize us, that we'll go forth and do exploits in the name of our only Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray, nobody here today and over there listening will miss what you have for each of us. Confirm it, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We are beginning today here. And because we are beginning, we want to lay the foundation. I'm talking to you this morning on the foundation for exploits in ministry, exploits in life, exploits in the family, exploits in every community, exploits in our ministry, exploits in every denomination, exploits in every church. And yet, we have to lay the foundation. In Luke chapter 6, looking at verse 47. In Luke chapter 6, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, him I will show you to whom he is like. It says, number one there, coming to me, and then hearing the word, and then doing the word. You see those three things? Number one is to come. Number two is to hear. And number three is to do what we have heard. Very important. As some people, they take joy in coming to the house of God, and coming to a crusade, and coming a conference like the conference we have this morning, but they come, they don't hear. Other people go ahead, they hear, but after that they seal up, they do not do what they hear. But you must have the three combined. I come, I hear, I do. Now when I hear, I accept what I hear. I believe what I hear. And I want to confine myself to just that I hear. And I want to do. I don't want to deduct. I don't like that one. I don't accept that one. No. You do everything you hear. And that is how to lay the foundation for a great house, a great life, a great family, a great ministry. Look at verse 48. In verse 48, it says, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. If you're familiar, I think you should be, with building. When you want to build a little hut, you don't need too much foundation. The hut you build is not a permanent thing. And the rain could come and will put holes on the roof, and the wind will come and blow it away. You expected that. That's why you didn't have a very deep, strong foundation. But now you want to build a house, not a tent, a house that will stand the storm of time and stand all the various weathers you have in that community. You'll dig deep. In fact, if you want to build a building that is very high, the higher the building, the deeper the foundation. Notice that in your life. There are people that just come and the foundation is shallow. If the foundation is shallow, the building is not going to be steady, solid. And it's not going to withstand the test of time, the temptations of time, and it's not going to withstand all the trials that will come in life. But you want to build something great, amen, something high, amen, and you want to build something that will last and accommodate everything you have in mind till the end of life, the foundation must be deep. It says, this is the man that built an house and dig deep. If you have been at the construction site where they are building, they dig and they throw away all the things they are digging up. That's what we do. You come to the Lord, and the Lord reveals himself to you. And he says, the life he wants you to live is a higher life. It's a better life. It's a greater life. It's a more gracious life than you have lived. And so he says, now, let's start building. We'll build the foundation first. And you will dig. You'll dig deep. And everything you dig out, you're digging it out of your life that had been there. If I'm going to build a great house, I must dig deep. And you dig deep into your heart, into your mind, into your life. And the things that ought not to be there, you dig them out. And when you dig them out, you throw them away. We call that repentance. That shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be there. A person is going to become great in the kingdom of God. A person is going to have all the grace available from the kingdom of God cannot just build a shallow or dig a shallow foundation. It has to be deep. And then he laid the foundation on a rock. Jesus is that rock. Because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the church is comprising of the members, the Christians, to build the church, will build the Christian. And you are the Christian. We are the people that make up the church. Upon this rock, I build the Christian. I build the church. Now, what kind of church is a kind of church that the devil and the gates of hell shall try to fight against that church, but the gates of hell will not prevail. Will not prevail against your life. You know, sometimes when there is real windstorm that blows, and it's even blowing sand, and blowing all the trees that are hollow inside, they look big, but when that storm comes, all those trees are down. And the houses, the roofs that are not well placed, they are blown off. But when that house is well built, you have a strong foundation, and you build a good spiritual house on that. And it says, when the flood arose and the steam beat upon vehemently, look at that word, seriously, violently, vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it. If you are building a house, building a life, building a family, and building a ministry that will not be shaken by any violent and vehement storm, that's why you need the foundation. For it was founded upon a rock. It had its foundation upon the rock. And I must ask you, on what are you building the foundation of your life? Your Christian life, your spiritual life, your family life, your ministerial life. The foundation for exploits in life and ministry. Three things we're looking at. Number one is the spiritual foundation for desirable exploits. Number two is the sure foundation for dynamic exploits. Number three is the steadfast, solid, stable foundation for distinguished exploits. Look at number one. Number one is the spiritual foundation for desirable exploits. Exploits means wonders. It means great, great demonstrations of God's power. And if you want to have great grace, great godliness, you want to have the great goodness of God in your life, for your life, by your life, through your life, flowing to other people. And that's the desirable exploit that we want. But that needs a spiritual foundation. Spiritual foundation. The foundation we're talking about, because the life we're talking about is spiritual. The foundation is spiritual. Because the life we're talking about is the ministerial life, we're talking about the ministerial foundation. Because the house we're talking about is stable, is steady, is solid, is spiritual. The foundation we're talking about is spiritual and steady and stable and steadfast. And you want to see what to do. And this is your life. Another person cannot come and dig the foundation for you and build that house for you. You will build your house spiritual by the grace of God. And we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I read from verse 19. It says, nevertheless, whatever happens, whatever does not happen, nevertheless, whatever others do, whatever others do not do, nevertheless, whatever lives other people are building, he builds a shallow life, and the other one builds a superficial life. That's not your concern. You have your life to live when you are born into this world. That fellow there wanting to build a shallow foundation or shallow life, you were not born together. You came out all by yourself. And the Lord worked on you all by yourself. And the Lord brought you into this world for a definite, distinct purpose. And so you don't think about, what's he doing? What are they doing? Are they building a strong foundation? Why am I laboring like this? Don't worry about that. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That foundation will be in your life. It says, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the foundation. Depart from iniquity. You come to the Lord, you say, I have been here and there. I've been building something superficial. Look at your life and look at what you could have been with God living big in you. Look at what you could have been with Christ energizing you. Look at what you could have been with the power of the Lord, of the Spirit of God taking over your life and leading you. Look at what you could have been if every step you take, if every speech you utter, if everything you did had been organized and directed by the scripture. Look at the life you could have lived if the grace of God had been there every moment, every minute, every day, and every week and hour since you were born. But it had not been so. But now you wake up and you say, shallowness no more. Say that with me, shallowness no more. Superficiality no more. That means you'll not just stay on the surface. You see, that kind of house they just put on the surface of the ground, no foundation, nothing. Well, they don't mean that will, be there for a long time. They just put that there for a picnic. They put that there for the moment. But your life is not just for the moment. Your life is for something wonderful. Something great. The wind will try to blow, but this house, the house you I'm addressing today, the wind will not blow you up. And if you want that, it says the foundation that you build must be on the name of Jesus. And it says, everyone that names the name of Christ must depart from iniquity. You literally run away from iniquity. Iniquity is, the heavy word for wrongdoing. Iniquity is that heavy word for what we generally call sin. Iniquity is the heavy weight word we call wrongdoing. It means you flee, you depart, you turn away, you run away from everything that is iniquity. How can I just break it down for you? Iniquity, there's idolatry in that iniquity. It means that if you have been an idol worshiper, and if you have been playing the game of life in the shrine, if you have been following after the gods and the idols of this world, it means that you are saying, Lord, iniquity, idolatry, no more. No more in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. when you are negative, the word of God is positive and you are negative. It says, do. You say, no. It says, come. You say, no. It says, this is the way. You say, no. And when you've been saying no, and no, and no to the commandments of the Lord, that's why your life is negative. And it says, if you're building this foundation, you run, you depart from negativism. All the things, all the times, you have been saying no to the Lord. And then it says, you depart from iniquity, from idolatry, from negativism, you depart from immorality. Immorality is so common, and some young people think it's the normal way of life. No, it's the abnormal way of life. You'll not do that anymore. Because it says you're building a new life. You're building a great life. And in that great life, if you're going to build, you must have a great foundation. If you're building a gracious life, a gracious ministry, you have to have a gracious foundation. If you're building something deep and something great and something high, then you have to have a great, good, solid, firm foundation. And to do that, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart, run away, turn away, and repent from iniquity, from idolatry, from negativism, and from idolatry, and from quarrelsomeness. You know, there are people fighting, fight. When you were born as a toddler, as a young person, you used to fight on toys. That's my toy. And nobody taught you how to fight. Nobody taught you how to bite, even mommy, when you are being fed. And nobody told you how to abuse and how to point fingers and how to take something to hurt another person. That's your way of life. You cannot build a strong life, a great life, on conflict. You cannot build a great life on carnal competition. You cannot build a great life on fighting and quarrelsomeness. But let everyone that wants to build a great house, a high tower, let them build a great, strong foundation. And when you do that, it says you will be getting ready to build a great house. I see great people before me. You'll be greater in the future than your past. But you know, very simple, you just excavate, you dig up all those things that should not be in my life, that should not be in, you know, anybody's life, and so you run away from them. The Lord help you in Jesus' name. And then it says, you quit inconsistency. The problem is not that we don't know what to do. Our problem is inconsistency. I know the word of God. The problem is inconsistency. And I even promised the Lord, I will do this, I will do this. I do it for a day and then I quit. It's the inconsistency. It's the instability we find in our lives. That now you say before the Lord, I decide and I stay by that decision. I give myself to the Lord and I abide by that decision. All to Jesus, I surrender. And I do that. I stay with that. I don't just come to the church and during the service, all to Jesus, I surrender. And then once I leave the service, all that I said I surrender to the Lord, I take back. Now today, You surrender your heart. You surrender your life. You surrender your will unto the Lord. But the Lord is saying, quit your inconsistency. That, you know, you're always promising and promising, but you never do. And when you do for a short time, and you do not follow until the very end. You will follow till the very end in Jesus' name. And it says, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord, let him depart from temptation. Temptation has two sides. Number one, somebody else is tempting you. Number two, you are tempting another person. And it says, quit all that. You know, there are people, they don't count it as temptation. I'm not tempting him. I'm teasing him. I'm teasing him. But really, they are tempting him. They tempt him to fight. And if they want to fight, and they must look for something they must fight about. So they tempt others. Other people, they are not just being tempted. They are tempters themselves. And it says, you know, you cannot build a great life, a great profession, a great ministry on tempting others, because you need to help others, you need to support others, you need to lift others up. And if the people God wants you to lift up, you're pulling down, how can you build a great ministry on that? He wants us to depart and to flee and to run away from anything and everything that is called temptation, whether it's coming to you or it's coming from you. And then why there is to quit every yoke. Every yoke. No yoke will remain in your life. I said no yoke will remain in your life. You know, in life, let me just make an illustration. Here you are, you're free. Your hands are free. Your feet free. You didn't say your amen. Amen. Your mind free. Amen. And then you go to school, and you know, some of those young people have gotten themselves into a cult, into a camp. And then as you get there, they say, ah, young man, church boy, church girl. You know, there is a group here. And in this group, they are guys. They are tough-minded people. They are bold. They are courageous. They can confront professor. They can confront head of department. They can confront anyone. And what makes them so bold and courageous is that they join a particular gang. And you say, when did they do that? They say, in the night. And they say, come. And they say, stretch your hand out. And they make some marks there. Initiation. And they are bringing a yoke upon you. You run away from that yoke. If you've got it already, with your permission, I will break that yoke today. What did you say? With my permission? Because I have the permission of God to break the yoke in your life. I have the permission of Christ, and I have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to break that yoke from your life. But if I say, come on here, I want to break the yoke. Maybe if you say, no, I don't have your permission, although I have the permission of heaven and I have the power of the Holy Ghost, but because you do not permit, you do not yield, you do not surrender, what can I do? You must say, I quit all that yoke. I quit all that gang. I quit all that initiation. Now, when that is done, everyone that calls the name of the Lord, you depart from all iniquity, blessing will come upon you. He'll give you salvation. He'll give you security. He'll give you supply. Every need of your life will be supplied fully, adequately, completely, in Jesus' name. Let's come to point number two. Point number two is the sure foundation for dynamic efforts. You know, that word dynamic, there are two words. There is static. When something is static, it's there. You might, you know, blow on it, it's there, static. You might pull it, it's there, static. And it's not going anywhere. There are some lives like that. You encourage them, they're just static there. And you enlighten them, they're just static there. And you inspire them, motivate them, they're just static there. They don't want change. They don't want to move. They don't want progress. They say, I'm okay the way I am. No, you are not okay. You are not okay. You can do better. You can go higher. You can achieve more. And you can have more of God in your life. Or do you say you're all right when the fullness of God is not in your life yet? How can you say you're all right when the fullness of the grace of God is not there yet? How can you say you're all right when you're just living a so-so life, a superficial life? But you see, those people are static. Thank God I came here this morning not to preach to static people, but to dynamic people. Where are we? Dynamic. Dynamic. And exploits in your life will be dynamic in Jesus' name. Now, such dynamic exploit needs a foundation, a sure foundation. Let's come back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 19 again. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God, tell me, standeth sure. Say that again. Now there's a sure foundation that we are just sure that once God takes over as the controller, as the director of your life, that the foundation, it is sure you'll make progress in life. Once Christ takes over your life and he says, you've controlled that life for, is it 27 years? Is it 42 years? You've controlled that life by yourself for all the 70 and 75 years. Look at where you have reached. Hand over the control unto me. When you hand over the control of your life to the Lord, there's a sure foundation now. And you're going to build a great life, a gracious life, a great family, a gracious family, a great ministry, a gracious ministry. Now, when you hand over the control of your life, of your family, of your ministry unto the Lord, you allow him to control. You don't say, you know, the way I used to speak, don't speak that way anymore. You are not in control anymore. He is in control. And the way I used to think, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Nobody can change my mind. You're not in control anymore. That's the way you've controlled for all these many years. And look at where it has landed us. But now, the control is totally in the hand of the Lord. The Lord will take over your life. Everything that is useless will shake out of your life. And every good thing you don't have, he'll command, he'll convey into your life. Heaven, glory, power will come into your life in Jesus' name. The foundation of God standeth sure. I've been there sealed. That word seal there. You know, sometimes when in the olden days, when an authority, like a king, when he puts something there, they don't want anybody to touch. They'll put the seal of the king there, the stamp of the king. And there'll be soldiers watching. Anybody that will touch that thing or remove the seal and tamper with that thing on which the seal is, they won't allow him to do that. When you come to the Lord and your foundation is Christ, there's going to be a seal upon your life. And heavenly bodyguard angels will be watching over you. And demons want to come, and others want to come to destroy this important personality that the seal of God is upon. Heaven will drive them away. And so, when you want that assurance, surety, that seal upon your life, you hand over everything, every area unto the Lord, and it has the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You know, it's wonderful when the king here, our king, when he knows you, and he say, go call so and so for me. You are so happy, the king knows me. When the principal in your school knows you, I'm so happy he knows me. And when the vice chancellor of your university knows you personally, and whatever, anytime you are coming, so come in, and then he mentions your name. When he looks at you, I know this is what you are coming for. You are so happy. But now, the God of heaven knows you. The Almighty knows you. The supplier of every need knows you. The Savior of the whole earth, he knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the decision you have taken. He knows your destiny, and he knows your need. And he will supply every need in your life in Jesus' name. He knows me. He knows me. Where is the he? He knows. Where is the me? He knows you. Sorrow out of your life. Amen. Sin out of your life. Amen. Sickness out of your life. Amen. He knows you. And not only that, he knows you. When a contrary wind is coming your way, you will not allow that wind that will swallow you up, that will bury you, that will bury your future. You'll not allow that to get to you. And it's when you come through this foundation, he knows you. And then he says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, nameth the name of Christ. How and where we name the name of Christ? When we pray, we say, in Jesus' name we pray. We name the name of Christ when we come for salvation, because it says, whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. We name the name of Christ when we want to drive away evil power, evil spirit in the life of anyone. And if you are a Christian, you pray, you name the name of Christ. If you are a minister, when you pray, when you preach, you name the name of Christ. And if the naming of Christ is going to be effective through you, through your life, and through your ministry. It says, let him depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Say that with me. Now, there are two sides there. Sometimes iniquity is there, and you happen to be geographically in that area, but you didn't know. Now that you know, there's iniquity surrounding this place, there's idolatry surrounding this place, and there is negativism surrounding this place, immorality surrounding this place, and there is quarrel, conflict, fighting surrounding this place, and there is, the ungodliness surrounding this place, and there is insincerity, inconsistency surrounding this place, all these people inconsistent, and there is temptation surrounding this place, yoke surrounding this place. And I want to name the name of Christ. I'm a preacher, and I'm going to name the name of Christ. And I want the name of Christ to be effective when I pray. Depart from iniquity. I'm a Christian. I have requests. I'm going to call the Lord. You say, ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock. It shall be opened unto you. And I'm going to ask in the name of Christ. I then depart from iniquity. I'm going to face challenges. I say, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I must depart from iniquity. Iniquity will not be in your life. And you'll have a sure foundation for dynamic exploits in Jesus' name. Another amen. Number three here now. Point number three, the steadfast foundation for distinguished exploits. It's the steadfast foundation. When we were very, very young, we didn't understand. And we were given something to plant. And we're seeing daddy planting, and it's growing, bringing fruit. And so they give us, and we're planted there. And the following hour, we'll go to check up. Why is it not growing? We dig it up again. We go and plant in another place. Another day, we check up. What? It takes time. But we didn't know. We're so young. We take it again, and we're planting that same thing in different places at different times, thinking that it's not growing. We were not steadfast. And that was like everything in our lives. You try that, it's not working, you quit. You try another one. That business you try is not working, you try another one. And you're uprooting what you planted by yourself. So that you plant another place. If we go on doing that until we grow old and old, nothing good comes up. That's why we need to be steadfast with the Lord. The foundation that is going to carry a magnificent building must be steadfast. You'll be steadfast in Jesus' name. And the exploits in your life will be distinguished exploits in Jesus' name. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why? Call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. If we call him Lord, then do. You know, he said, you come, you hear, you do. You know him as Savior. You know him as Lord. Do what he said. Why would you call him Savior if you don't allow him to save you from your sin? Why would you call him Lord if you do not do what he says, so that he can be Lord and director of your life. Verse 47. In verse 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me will come to him. We're not coming to the preacher, to the evangelist. The evangelist is just an herald, is to declare the word of God to us. The evangelist does not save. The Christ he preaches that saves. Christ is the Savior. And when you come to Christ, you are saved in Jesus' name. Christ is the power of our lives. The preacher is not the power of our lives. Christ is the power of our lives. If you come to him, he will empower you. He will energize you. And you will not be weak anymore. You will be strong. Let the weak say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Look at verse 48. In verse 48, it says, he is like a man which buildeth his house and digged deep and laid the foundation. Solid foundation, steadfast foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it tells us, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. That's your new life. That's your new ministry. That's your new endeavor. From this morning, you come. Don't worry about the past. The mistakes we have made, we have made. The failure we had got in the past, we had got. And the foolishness that we had in the past, well, it's done, it's done. When you are holding an egg and that egg falls down and the egg is broken, you cannot scoop it up, you cannot bring it up and make it a whole egg again. That's gone. But now there are hundreds and thousands of eggs that will replace that one egg that was broken. Your life broken, ministry broken, family broken. Maybe you cannot do anything about that again, but heaven will do something about that. It'll repair your life. It'll restore your life. It'll reform your life. And things will start today on a new note in Jesus' name. I see a rising person before me there. Rising man, rising woman, rising boy, rising girl before me here today in Jesus' name. Are we ready? Let's bow the eyes closed. I want to give your life to the Lord and say, Lord, now take control. I surrender. I depart from iniquity. I depart from sin. I depart from evil. And I hand over, I yield my life unto you. Wherever you are, just raise up your hand. New life is coming. Everything now will become new. You come to Christ, you come into Christ. And if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, if any boy, any girl be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. If you are raising up your hand, please stand up. Thank you. God bless you. If you are raising up your hand, you'll stand up. New life. New family. New character. your behavior, your achievement. Father, the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for all these who sincerely want Christ to be the very foundation of their lives, and they hand over and they yield their lives to the Lord. I pray you forgive all the sins of the past in Jesus' name. Grant them your salvation, new life, by grace to begin even now. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Jesus' name we pray. A new ministry, a new achievement. Look at what you have done. Achievement, look at your profession, look at all the hindrances you had got in the past. But now you name the name of Christ, and you dig up all that should not be in that profession, in that work, in your pattern of doing things. And we lay this foundation that Christ now will they be the foundation of ministry, of family, of profession, everything you do. You raise up your hand and we're going to pray together. A new power, new intelligence, new vision, new inspiration will come unto you. Even new supply will come to you. You will not be a failure. You will be an achiever. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever we have been in the past, all the hindrances of the past, all the failure of the past, all the non-achieving habits of the past, we drop them right here. Lord, we pray you become the power, the strength in everyone right now. And from now on, great achievement. Amen. From now on, great accomplishment. Amen. From now on, great ministry. Amen. From now on, you lead your people higher than they ever been in Jesus' name. Amen. Do it in such a practical, definite way that everyone will know he lifted me higher. Confirm the miracle in every life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any yoke the world placed on you, a curse the world placed on you, a hindrance the world placed on you, and they say once you are getting up, you get to this level, they place the curse and they said, stop there, don't go further. We're going to break that yoke right now. Whatever yoke it is, you sense it in your life, or it's sickness, or it's disease, whatever. Maybe you caused it by yourself. Those are your days of ignorance that God winked at. But now, as you turn away from them, a new life, a new strength, a new focus will come in your life in Jesus' name. Where are you? Any yoke to be broken there? Father, in Jesus' name! Every yoke in my son's life, every yoke in my daughter's life there, break it, destroy it, throw it away in Jesus' name. Set everyone free. Free to fly. Free to soar. Free to progress. Freedom. Freedom. And make everyone a conqueror. And more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Confirm your blessing upon every life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
He has answered your prayer.
Amen.